Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
We have had the best of time going through the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to conclude that this morning because we start our Christmas series next week. So interesting because as we've looked at this story, we've looked at his burden, we've looked at his response to vision, we've looked at his obedience, we've looked at the persecution and the opposition, we've looked at the negativity and the criticism that he received. But you'll be glad to know that the walls are built at last. 52 days. And the wall, well, I thought that would get a better response. You obviously weren't working on the walls then. The walls were built at last, 52 days. And wow, after everything they've gone through, and along with Ezra, the scribe, here they are. And we read these incredible words in Nehemiah 8, verse 10. And then I'm also going to read from John 15, just to give some context with what I want to say this morning. Nehemiah 8:10, then he, Nehemiah, said to them, "Go your way, eat the fruit, eat the fat, drink the sweet," and all the dieters said, "Amen," "and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And then John 15, reading from verses 5 through 11, Jesus declared these words, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Would you just smile for a few moments? Just smile. Would you just, maybe you don't feel it right now, but would you at least try and look happy? Would you just try it?" We're at that time of the year that I've already expressed thoroughly enjoy this season. Was talking with a friend of Phyllis and I just the other day, and she was saying how this season is so difficult for her. If you knew her story, if you knew the backstory, you would appreciate and understand that. And so it is in life that we all can face circumstances when many of us can get sad, upset, a wee bit depressed, dealing with the stresses and the challenges of life at times can get you down. But there's a great revelation here from God's word, which I believe is a word for all of us today. You see, I am totally convinced if there is one thing the enemy is after, he is after your joy. He is after your joy. A couple of months ago, dealing with a lot of things, working a lot of things out, other things that I'm involved in life, and I heard myself in conversation at some top level speaking to different people on different things. And as I was giving my take on it, I heard myself repeatedly saying these words, "I feel like I'm getting a grumpy old man." Do you know when you begin to hear yourself repeating a phrase? "I feel like I'm becoming a grumpy old man." And I had to arrest myself and actually say, "Neil, stop speaking those words over yourself. One, you're not old." See, you were all going for the grumpy, weren't you? Because I'll tell you why. Because by virtue of nature, if you're around me, you know, if you're around me, it's not very long before we're having fun and we're having a bit of laugh and we're having a bit of giggle because that's my personality. But I was allowing the circumstances and the things that I was dealing with to cause my identity to change. What was happening externally was affecting me internally, and actually I was voicing those things, and I went, whoa, that stops right now, because that's not going to be me. I'm not going to be a grumpy old man. I'm going to be full of life and vim and expectation and positivity and belief. Someone say amen. But I need to say this to you because it came out in the video yesterday so well, is there is a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness, it's according to external circumstance. Joy is something that is very internal. And if you don't get anything else I say this morning, you must get this. Joy comes from emotional pleasures arising from present or expected good, the dictionary says. Happiness is generated by external circumstances. Joy is internally generated. Happiness is external stimulus. Joy is internal revelation. That's why people can lose jobs. People can go through difficult challenges. They can feel like the sky is falling down. Yet there is something internally that causes them to see things differently. In fact, one of the definitions of joy is this: a calm delight or cheerfulness. Turn to your neighbor again and say, you better smile. Neil will get you up on the platform if you don't smile. That even in the midst of drama, and we all go through the dramas of life, if you get this morning, the joy of the Lord, there will be an internal calm, an internal cheerfulness. In other words, this is the power of something in the inside that sustains you when the world is falling apart on the outside. Is that good or what? Joy is inner healing. The Bible says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Now, my mom keeps buying me vitamins because she tells me that I'm getting to that certain age. Thanks, Mom. Neil, and I laugh because when you look at the box, for over 50s. Thanks, Mom. You need to take your vitamins. You need to look after yourself. I want to help you all this morning because some of you are very young, but you don't know what the joy of the Lord is. So you're allowing what's happening in your outer world to dictate to you your response in your inner world. And some of us, we must grasp this because I want to finish my course with joy, as the Apostle Paul said. I don't want to go sneaking through the gates. I want to go joyfully through the gates. I don't want to these years that I've got left that I'm going to make the most of in my life. I don't want them to be hardship years. I want them to be years where inside I feel fresh and I feel green and I feel alive and I feel vibrant. I tell Daniel and Stuart all the time, I'm more youthful than you guys. I tell them all the time. I says, I'm more youthful than you guys. I'll jump off this stage. I'll do all the crazy things. You're like old man before your time. You're scared to say amen there, aren't you? I tease you all the time, don't I? I tease. But why am I doing that? It's actually a pastoral lesson. Because I want these guys to know, because these guys carry a heavy load and a heavy burden, and sometimes in their youthfulness, that can become heavy upon them. And what I want them to realize is, guys, you're going to finish your course with joy. And if you want to be sustained in ministry, you've got to discover something. You better work on that inner thing, because if you don't deal with that inner thing, outer stuff is going to crucify you. So you better get the inner thing going. So although I'm teasing them, I'm also teaching them the importance of dealing with this joy of the Lord. I can't verify this, but I've read this on several occasions, so don't quote me on this. It said that kids laugh approximately in a day 150 times, and adults only laugh 15 times. Now, although we can't verify that fact, the truth is, we'll all admit, kids probably laugh more during the day than we do as adults. Question, what went wrong? Have you ever noticed when there's a new baby, if you're around a new baby, you go up to a baby, don't you? Well, okay, I go up to a baby, maybe you don't. I'll go up to a baby, and have you ever noticed you always try to make the baby laugh? You never try to make the baby cry. Question, anyone in the room try to make the babies cry? Just to be helpful, because you're not getting near our creche anymore. You always try to make the babies smile. Now, perhaps like me, you've tried to make them smile, but sadly, they don't respond to what you're saying, and they start to cry. And you always pass them back to your mother, the mother at that moment, don't you? Now, let me say this. In my calling, in my gifting, in what God has asked us to do, we are very serious about our responsibilities. I don't want you to get this wrong this morning. We're very serious about our opportunities and our duties and what God has placed upon us. But every one of us as Christians, we need to have more opportunities to have fun and permission to smile. Because the inner man, if you can get this working on the inner man, it's going to be reflected on the outer man. So we're talking about a joyful spirit. You know, when you're secure within yourself, you can laugh at yourself. You know, if you make a mistake, get something, you can laugh and you can just... but if you're feeling insecure about yourself, you can't laugh at yourself because you hate to think that other people are laughing at you. But if we could only live joyfully, that's why even at funerals, I have conducted funeral services, and have you ever noticed, perhaps you've been there, perhaps you've conducted a service, that if you tell a funny story, or perhaps something that the person deceased, something they've done, or something, have you ever noticed that you start to laugh, the people start to laugh, everyone sort of, it takes the pressure off. I've had people laughing at funeral services more than you laugh on a Sunday morning. Just putting it out there. Now, why? Because we're disrespecting the moment. No, actually, no. We're actually respecting the moment. And we want that service, the funeral service, to depict the individual. And if the individual was funny, enjoyed life, then why should we have a dry, boring service, especially when that person has been sent into glory? Why should at a funeral service we not be able to laugh at some of the things? Why? Because externally we are sad, but internally when they belong to Jesus, we are rejoicing because absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's what you call inner joy. And many of us, we would have healing in our life if we would only learn to laugh more. Some of you, you're too uptight. You're too serious. Thank you, Anne. Of course, that's begging a response. You're married to Alan, but I'm going to leave that right there. Can I say this gently? Some of you, seriously, in this room this morning, Christian, you need to relearn how to laugh and just have fun. David, the psalmist, said these words, "Restore unto me the grumpiness of my salvation." David said, "Restore to me, God, the joy of my salvation." Now he realized that he'd blown it and he blew it big. But he came back to that point where he realized, God, there's something missing on the inside. In the Old Testament, it's so interesting because often what would happen is the enemy would fill up the wells with sand, etc., so that the people could not get water. It was one of the tactics of the enemy. And you read it, and we preach it from Genesis, we read that Isaac was the son of Abraham. And we read that Isaac redug the wells of his father. So the enemy had covered up the wells. Isaac redug the wells. What's interesting is this, that the name Isaac literally means laughter. So laughter, when the enemy was trying to block up things, and the enemy is trying to block some things in your life this morning through circumstance, but it was laughter that redug the wells. All right, time is really going so quick. Can I give you just quickly three ways that we can keep our joy? Is that okay? Get our joy and keep it full, because that's what it says. Is that okay this morning? You know I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just being polite. You know I'm going there anyway. All right, let's take this from John, all right? Because I think we have some great lessons here. Here's three ways that you can get and keep joy. Number one, practice his presence. The presence of God. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Every one of us, if you want to get joy and keep joy and inner joy, you've got to practice the presence of God. You've got to get into his presence. God walks with us. God talks with us. We know that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's always with you. The psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is always with us. That's not the issue. Here's the question. Do you realize or recognize his presence? That's the biggie. The presence of God. Do you know that every day I walk with God and I talk with God and I fellowship with God because I have been created to be in his presence? If you go back to Genesis, we read that in the garden, before sin, Adam and Eve would walk with God in the cool of the garden. That's got to do with fellowship. That's got to do with intimacy. That's got to do with presence. When they ate of that fruit, God came down to walk with Adam. And what do we, he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam is now hiding from the presence of God, which is interesting because how can you hide from God? He says these words, I was afraid and I hid myself. Here's what sin did. Sin took us from that place of intimacy with God to that place of, I don't want to be in God's presence. What your challenge in life is this, is that many of us, we spend too much time with friends and family and not enough time in the presence of God. He is with us wherever we go. That's why the Bible says that we can pray without ceasing. I pray to God all day, in the car, when I'm walking, whatever I'm doing. Here's my greatest desire. I want to spend time with Jesus. I'll put on music. I'll put on a podcast. I'll worship. I'll praise. But I have developed within me a lifestyle of being in his presence, and I practice his presence. And God is here this morning. If you want to get joy and keep joy, you've got to practice being in the presence of God. Because here's what Jesus says. If you don't abide in me, fruit will not remain. If you don't abide in his presence, you're not going to retain that joy. And the cares of this world are going to get the better of us. It's a lifestyle that I've developed from a young boy that I've seen modeled by mom and dad, that I can be in the presence. You know, I can be in symposium and I can sense the presence of Jesus. Because it's not about the environment, it's about he that is within me. And notice I said these words, you've got to practice the presence. Because as young Christians, as we're developing, we think that the presence of Jesus is only found on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or when the keyboards are playing or during praise and worship. And that's when we have our God slot. But when we're living the rest of the day, we're just doing our own thing. No, here's a newsflash. He walks with you and he talks with you. If God dwells within your life, wherever you go, God is already there. He's already gone before you. And that's why you can be in terrible circumstances, but because of the joy of the Lord that is in your heart, because you've practiced his presence, that when everyone else is falling apart, actually, you're doing okay. Why? Because you know the presence of God. Number two, you've got to promote his principles. Jesus says these words, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, most of us, all we need is one word. One word can make the difference between a breakdown and a breakthrough. One word from God can turn our lives around. That's why Joshua was instructed. All through Scripture, we're instructed to meditate on God's word, to read his word, to digest his word. So not only are we practicing his presence, that's intimacy, but we're making sure that our priority is his principles. What does God's word have to say on this? Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. The psalmist says, "Thy word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist had it right. I'll tell you what will sustain you: the word of God anchored in your heart. You know, it's amazing what we can repeat. It's amazing what we can say. Back to kids. Have you ever been around kiddies and maybe parents or something, and they'll go, "What does the doggy say? What does the cat say? What does the horse say?" In fact, when my boys were young, don't know if your kids had this, my boys, they had this game thing called See and Say. And it had a picture of animals all around it. And you would turn it to, for example, you would turn it to the picture of a donkey. And you would pull the string. Yeah, you would pull the string. And then you know, it would say, the donkey says such and such. The cat says such and such. And we do that to instruct our kids, because I guess we want them to know what a doggy says and a catty says. Boy, you can tell why I was at Parliament, can't you? But just the thought, what does God's word have to say? Because if you want your kids, if we want our children, if we as adults want to grow and mature with an understanding, then surely we've got to prioritize his principles. What does God's word say? That's why in the parable in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, the Bible says the one who received what fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding some 30, some 60, and some 100 times what was sown. You see, the old man or the flesh is always going to argue with the word of God. It's always going to argue with the word of God. The old man says, have you ever said this? The old man says, "I just can't do it." But the new man says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The old man says, "I don't feel good. It's not looking good. I just can't see it. I can't find a way out." The new man says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Question: are you putting on the old man or the new man? The old man says, "I'm so tired. I'm never going to make it." The new man says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." The old man says, "Everybody's against me." The new man says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Are you listening to the old man, or are you listening to the new man? Are you abiding by God's words? Are you prioritizing his principles? One of my life's verses is this verse: "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I destined you to the nations." I love that, because here's what it does. That takes everyone else's opinion out and God's word over me in. Whose report will you believe? Here's the last thought. Don't worry, I'm going to take forever on this one. Protect his promise. Listen to what Jesus said, John 15 again. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." I always find that challenging, because I'm going to be honest enough with you this morning. I think certainly somewhere along the line, I've broken at least one or two of the 613 laws that there are in the Bible. Anyone else relate to what I'm saying this morning?
So how can I keep all the commandments? I know I've missed the mark somewhere along the line. I've sinned and I've fallen short. That word keep literally means guard. Guard. We've got to guard the commandments of the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, we read these words. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. But listen closely. You'll never guard or keep the commandments of God if you don't fully realize this morning God loves you. Did you notice that in the scripture that we read? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. You see, some of you here this morning, you live your Christian life with fear. Some of you, you live your life thinking that you've displeased God because perhaps you've displeased people here on earth. You think that God falls in love with you and out of love with you. And as long as you think that way, you'll never fully realize or walk in the joy of the Lord. Because you're fearful and afraid, yet God's word says this, perfect love casts out all fear. If you live your life in a fearful state, you'll never have the peace of God and the joy of God until you fully realize the love of God. His word tells us that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We read scriptures like, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I remember a number of years ago being with a number of Christians who were of a different tradition, and they did not appreciate our charismatic expression of gratitude. Is that a nice way of putting it? They couldn't understand why we were loud and joyful and got excited and had a smile on our face. And I remember, actually I was with my dad, and I remember that they said, my dad, you see, Brother Cameron, you don't understand. We do have the joy of the Lord. It's just deep down within us. I remember them saying, We have the joy of the Lord. It's just deep down within us. And I was thinking about this statement the other day. You know, when I fill my car up with diesel, yes, I drive a dirty diesel car. When I fill up my car with diesel, I can't see the diesel in the tank. But there's an indicator inside my car that will let me know whether that tank is empty, half full, or full. I cannot see what's going on in the tank, but I thankfully have an indicator which allows me to see what's going on. I want to encourage you this morning. We need to get the joy of the Lord. You see, for some of us, life is like a box of chocolates. I guarantee every single one of you in this room that whether it's Quality Street or whatever chocolate it is you like, whatever it is, that when a box is presented to you, because every single one of you in this room have your favorites. It's funny, some of you didn't listen to a thing I said, but now you're alert. I've discovered a way to get their attention. Here's what's happening. Am I right on this? Nearly every one of us, if a box is presented to you, you will immediately look for... Am I right? You will look for that one that's the one we like. That's not the one you like. Okay. Oh wow. All right. Okay. Just 2 seconds. I've got to use this as an illustration. That's the one Johnny likes. Anyone else? 1, 2, 3. Look, minimum. You know. So Johnny is the perfect guest because you know those are the ones that's always going to be left in the box. You're the perfect... Now we know who to give them to. All right, stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. Because some of you,
when it comes to life, your eye immediately goes to insecurity. Your eye will go to fear. You immediately go to negativity. You immediately go to, well, I just dinna ken. Some of you default. Are you still with me? Some of you, yeah, you're thinking, well, if we stay with him, we'll maybe get something. Seriously, this is a word of the Lord for some of you in this room. Some of you automatically go to the very thing that is not helpful to you. Whereas God is saying to you, if we can get this joy of the Lord, which is our strength, some of you have lost your joy. You've lost the joy of your salvation. Nikki, don't laugh. I'm not going to come. You're trying hard to get me. You're trying to get my attention. I know. I'm serious this morning. Some of you have lost the joy of your salvation. You were full of life and full of excitement. You were up for it. There was just something about it. And now you even second guess, will I bother going to church this morning? Some of you have lost that inner strength that comes from God alone because you've allowed external circumstance to affect your inner man. And if we could this season, if we could just rediscover the Word of God, which is the joy of the Lord is my strength, here's what will happen. There's something in your inner man that's going to drive your outer man. That when your inner man doesn't feel like it, sorry, when your outer man doesn't feel like it, your inner man says, behave yourself and do the right thing. Because that joy becomes your strength. That means your sustenance. That's going to protect you. That's going to help you. And if I say nothing else that will benefit you the remainder of this year, if I could just get you to catch this joy of the Lord, not happiness, because I believe that happiness will actually flow from an inner joy. If I could get you to get this deep on the inside and deal with the inner man, I tell you, most of us would have a lot better Christmas and a lot better 2018 because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So as we're bowing our heads right now, I want to remind you that we need to practice His presence, that we need to prioritize His principles, and we need to protect the promise of God. His promises are yea and amen. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You're here this morning. You've never opened up your life to Him. You have no joy. You maybe have happiness, but you don't have joy because you've never committed your life to Jesus. We've had a lot of fun this morning. We've used a lot of humor, but let me anchor this the best I can. And as I land this, I say this: you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need that personal relationship with Him. You need to be able to declare, my heart is fixed. My mind's made up. I'm committed to Jesus. I'm committed to His ways. There is nothing greater than the gospel. There is nothing greater than the transformation that God brings our way. It only comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. You're here this morning and your life is not right with God. You've never given your heart to Jesus. You're honest enough to admit, I don't have a relationship with Him. But today, you want to connect with God. Today, you're saying, I give my life to You. Today, you're saying, I want to surrender. Neil, I need that joy. I need that inner joy. I can never be intimate in the presence of God until I first come to Him and bow the knee. I would love to pray with you. Just asking that God would move in your life, that God would challenge you. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus, or you're here and you say, hey, my life is not right before God, but this day something changes. I would love to pray with you after the service. Would you just lift your hand real high, anyone in this room today? Thank you. Up in the balcony, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Up in the balcony, you can put your hand down. Anyone else? Come on, I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus. Father, we thank You for these two individuals reconnecting with You and Your purpose. We thank You that the joy of the Lord is our strength, but it is the joy of the Lord. We can never experience Your joy until we first come and understand the sorrow that You went through. Your Word declares that for the joy that was set before You, Jesus, You endured the cross, despised the shame, sitting now at the right hand of our Father. Thank You, God, for that. And Lord, we thank You for men and women who have a desire to reconnect with you. And Father, I just pray that may the peace of God that passes all understanding be their portion right now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to pray, maybe you're here and I wonder if you'd be honest enough to admit, I'm not going to ask for you to put your hand up, but you've lost that joy, you've lost that, you just know that something's missing. Don't put your hand up, but something's missing and God is challenging you right now. Father, I pray for those that there is an awareness that perhaps, Lord, they've just allowed the challenges of life to affect them. And Lord, their exterior world now is actually dominating the interior world. But God, we can get into your presence. And Father, for some of us, this is going to be a journey because we're not familiar with encountering you through the day. Father, that we would prioritize the principles of your word. Lord, not so much about what everyone else is saying, but what does your word say? Father, we want to protect the promise. Your promise is this: you love us, and you promise and give us a future and a hope. Father, if there are people right now in the midst of the lie of the enemy that would cry in their ears, that would maybe make them feel unloved, that would make them feel less, Father, I'm praying right now that they would protect that promise. Father, my prayer for Apex Church is really that we would get that joy of the Lord deep down within us, in our spirit, in our spirit man, that we would become joyful. Jesus, you told us that joy that will remain. Psalmist says our cup can run over. We can be joyful. So help us, God, in the inner man, that just like Nehemiah said, that we would believe with all our hearts, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It will sustain me. It will guide me. It will direct me. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.